All right, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are now shifting our focus a little bit more into the energy sector, as we have been doing more and more on weekend shows and throughout the week, giving a little bit more attention to the energy sector. We are chatting with Joseph Schachter, founder and editor of the Schachter Energy Report, also writes a free report called Eye on Energy, where Joseph breaks down more the fundamentals, the data points around the oil sector, oil and natural gas sector. Now, Joseph, usually we dive into some of the short-term data points, but when we were talking to you off mic before recording, you were outlining essentially a very bullish situation that you see the energy stocks getting into now that we have had a correction in oil and a very big correction in natural gas. Joseph, from a high-level perspective, initially, why now, or at least in the very near term, are you thinking that this is going to be a great buying opportunity for investors to get back into these energy stocks?
Yeah, well, the bullish side of it was, for both the general market and energy, was the reopening trade for China. And then the market got pretty excited. The price of oil went up to 80 from 70. The stock market had a nice bounce. But a lot of the data now coming out of China is showing that there isn't much of a recovery. It's sluggish. There's got lots of problems. And then you've got this issue now in the States where inflation is out of control. You know, the number is 0.7 for the PPI number. And all of a sudden, the 2-year yield starts going up, and it's almost near the high of the year. And people are saying, well, maybe the Fed's going to raise interest rates in early March by 50 beeps, not by 25. And then they're not going to stop. They might do 25 beeps once or twice more. So all of a sudden, you've got to price in that the earnings are not going to be as good, and that what you pay for those earnings is not going to be as high. You saw what happened to Home Depot yesterday. I think Dillard's was down 16%, and I think it was 7% down on Home Depot because of guidance on earnings, that they weren't going to be as good. So I think we're into the part where the view is that we're going to see tighter, hawkish Fed. We're going to see slowing economy. We're going to see cost pressure, operating margins tighten, and profitability will come down. And the market is a discounting mechanism. It discounts things fairly quickly. So, we've had years where the bull market, bear market can swing in a month. We've had other times in 08, 09 that it takes 9 months. So, we've seen the market peak January of last year, and then it had a nice rally into the end of the year. Now we're starting the weakness again. My guess is we could have one more difficult shellacking phase here during end of February, March. We saw the Dow yesterday down 696 points, 2%. I think the NASDAQ was down 2.5%. The S&P was down around 2%. And I think we're going to see one more decline. I think the price of oil, which was 80 last week, is going to go down below 70. It's 74.40 today, down $1.50 or so. And I think that's going to set up a great buying opportunity. So we're thinking now that many stocks are down 50, 60% from their highs, more down on the natural gas stocks than the oily names. If I'm right that oil breaks 70, the oily names will have more of a shellacking right at the end. And what we're saying to people is we've been cautious, bearish for a year. We're now getting ready to be absolutely table-pounding bulls. And we're saying to people, go through the Q4 results that are coming out. There's conference calls. There's presentations on the websites. That's what we do our research for. And that's why, some people are subscribing to our product. And then be ready with the names that fit your portfolio, depending upon if it's a dividend-yielding conservative portfolio or a dividend and growth portfolio or just a growth portfolio. There are tremendous bargains here, similar to kind of valuation bargains that we got in March of 2020. And if you recall in our conversations in March of 2020, March 13th on the exact, is when we came out with a table-pounding buy. And then for the last year and a half, we've been cautious and saying sell on strength, sell on strength. And we hope people have a nice war chest because stocks are down so much. There are unbelievable bargains out there, and we're getting ready to tell people to be ready to buy them.
Well, Joseph, you have telegraphed this in advance, and I remember at the end of last year you're saying hold on to the first quarter because a good buying opportunity will show up and we will see a pullback. We certainly have seen that, and to your point, a lot of these stocks have been chopped in half and the oil price has kind of stabilized a little bit in the 75 to 80 region, but if you expect it to go down below 70, that probably will give an opportunity for one more pullback in these oilier names. Nat gas has pulled back so much, though, it's already kind of bottom dwelling around the 2 to 250 range. Is there a preference that you have right now? I mean, I know that you look at a diversified basket, but are you more interested in being in a more safe name that has a high dividend yield and, you know, good revenues coming in pretty consistently? Or are you more interested in trying to pick off some of the smaller growth stocks that maybe could perform better on a rebound?
Well, it really matters what your risk profile is. And, you know, in my case, I want to own larger cap companies with good dividends, you know, and that would be, let's say, 60% of my energy portfolio. And then I want 20% in growth and then 20% in entrepreneurial. So if, you know, if you look at the growth side, I'll pick a name like Birchcliff. Birchcliff today is trading at, let me just get the price, $7.94. The company has almost no debt. It'll be debt-free in the first quarter of 2023. The company has said that they will pay a 20 cents per quarter dividend, and that you know, that gives you over a 10% yield. And the stock high was 12.48. So, you know, you're looking at a 50% plus upside just to get back to the high of 2022. And I have a $25 bull market peak target. So if I'm getting paid, you know, 10% plus while I'm waiting on a conservative stock, and if I have, you know, the view that the LNG business will be 3 or 4 plants on the West Coast by the end of the decade, LNG price, natural gas price will be $6-7 on a consistent basis when you have 2-3 plants bidding for gas. And then at some point, the owners of those plants are going to have to own the reserves, and companies like Birchcliff are sitting right in the Montney fairway that will be available, you know, that people will want to buy. So to me, you know, those are the kinds of names that we like. We like Crew, we like Pipestone, you know, we like a lot of those names that are natural gas focused. And then, you know, Pinecliff, others that we think are cheap. And, you know, we're you know, Tourmaline is backing off. If that gets cheap enough, that would be a buy again. And on the oily names, I think they're going to be more vulnerable if we break 70, because in many cases, they're high fixed costs, low variable costs, especially those in heavy oil and SAGD. And so we're going to see those stocks get hit more. And I think they're going to be, there'll be some great bargains there too. So I think that people should just be, you know, doing the research on the companies, and that's what we do for them if they want somebody to do it independently. And then be ready with your cash whenever the buy signals kick in. And I think that a bust of 70 is one of them. And we're 74.56 as I look on the TV right now. And, you know, I think that's down from 80 just 2 weeks ago. And I think we bust 70. And I think that's when you're going to see a cathartic shakeout and bargains galore. And you just pick your points of where you want to be a buyer.
So, Joseph, what about those investors that want exposure to the oil and nat gas sector by going into, say, one or two or a group of companies that have kind of balanced exposure? Do you have any stocks that you can share with us in terms of ones that are a bit more split between natural gas and oil revenues?
Yeah, there's a lot of companies that have exposure to both. And I'll just give you a couple of examples, because some of the natural gas guys have liquids-rich plays, and they have the mix of those. So, for example, Paramount Resources, 46% liquids, 54% natural gas. You go to Tourmaline, 23% and 77%. Vermilion, 54%, 46%. Whitecap, 70% liquids, 30% natural gas. But then they bought XTO. Those are third-quarter numbers. So when they report their fourth quarter, their number of on the natural gas side should pick up. You've got NuVista, 41.59, 41% liquids, 59% natural gas. Obsidian, 64 oil, 36 natural gas, Pipestone, 4060. So, you know, there's a lot of lists there. Bonterra, 60% oil, 40% natural gas, in-play oil, 54.46, Journey, 47.53. So you could get companies that are balanced between the two commodities that are, you know, trading at half of what they were at the top of the cycle a year ago.
Do you have any thoughts on the oil services side, whether it's the drilling or the pipeline companies or any of the other related industries? Do you think that they're going to have the same kind of bounce back if we see a dive, one further dive down in the sector, or do you think they're kind of marching to the beat of their own drum?
No, I think that, you know, if the market goes down, they go down. If the price of oil goes down, they go down. You've seen, because of the low prices for natural gas in the States, that the number of rig count drilling for natural gas has gone down. It's flat in Canada. So there is, you know, a slowdown of activity. When you get prices in the $2 handle, people just, you know, will stop activity-wise. But a member, quite a few of those, you know, service stocks have been hit pretty hard, and I see bargains there. And we're just introducing coverage. Sorry, we did it in our last issue. So we introduced coverage on four new companies. Two of them were energy service. One of them was an oily-based company, and one was a natural gas-focused company, NuVista, Obsidian, and then we did CWC and Ensign. So these stocks are down from their highs. In the case of Ensign, it was a $5 stock. Now it's a $3.33 stock. So, you know, it's down 30% from its high. In the case of CWC, it was 34 cents. Now it's 21. There's a lot of shares outstanding, but, you know, still that's, you know, a decent decline. You know, there's other names that we like as well in the service sector. So, you know, there's bargains out there. And, you know, we're thinking that people should take advantage of them, you know, when we get this next shakeout. And, you know, the biggest names are like Trican. I'll give you Trican. That's been walloped, and they've got a very active NCIB, but they, you know, they're buying at lower and lower levels. It was a 490 stock at the high. It's the low was 266, and it's 317 now. But, you know, you're looking at, you know, $1.70 off, you know, that's, you know, 30% plus from the high. You know, I think, you know, $3 handle, it's very cheap.
So, Joseph, if we get this capitulation event then, where it sounds like if oil drops below 70 and we get a little bit more of a washout in the stocks, how quickly will this recovery happen? How nimble do investors need to be here?
Well, if you know, if people can just look at how quickly things turned in 08, 09 and in 2020, that's why we've been alerting our subscribers to make sure they hold cash and build it up, because when the window comes, it can last only a week or two. And so you need to decide, okay, I want a big pipeline company so I get some good dividend yield and growth. I want to own one or two natural gas stocks, one or two oily names, one service stock. So you pick your names you want, and then we'll be sending out action buy alerts when those names kick in. And I think we'll be doing that over the coming weeks. And that's one thing we're going to be talking about tomorrow in our webinar, so we can walk people through what to look for and be ready for the opportunity when it comes. Because the window is narrow. If you look to go back to March of 2020 and pick any stock, it's like catching a falling knife. So you've got to say to yourself, okay, is Tourmaline cheap at 7 or Whitecap is it cheap at 80 cents or is it cheaper at 30 cents? You know, of course it's cheaper at 30, but if it goes from 80 cents to 10 bucks, you're not going to complain. But it's very hard to be buying in those plunge phases, crash phases, when everybody's panicked. But that's when you've got to stick your neck out and say, this is tremendous value. If you get those kinds of pricing, I'll go back to the first name that I mentioned, Birchcliff. Birchcliff in 2020 went from 246, and in 1 week it went from $1.50 to 56 cents. So if you bought it at 70, 80, 90, you know, you're saying, oh, it went to 56, but it happened all in a week. But if 2 weeks later it was $1.65, a month later it was $3.37, and 2 years later it was $12, that's the kind of thing that I'm looking at, is a knife fall. And we saw the same thing in 08, 09. Birchcliff was trading at $15, and during the debacle in 08, it fell to $2.81. but a year later it was $9.30.
Well, Joseph, you know, just to take the other side of this discussion, we have seen some analysts that are looking for oil to rebound all the way back up to triple digits again, and for nat gas to have a run back up to 5 to 7, as you mentioned. But there also are some analysts that people respect that are saying, hey, there's still a potential that oil could stay muted and trade sideways for the most of the year. And if it drops below 70, which they were also expecting something in the 60s, it may just stay range bound, and nat gas may stay range bound in the low 2 to 250 range. You know, it doesn't sound like you expect that to happen. What would your bullish case be for why it should snap back so quickly?
Okay, number one, the markets are a discounting mechanism. It goes from euphoria to greed. We've seen that happen with the technology stocks, the MIB stocks, the FANG stocks, and you know, they love them, they hate them. And what I would say is, if any of you people out there believe that WTI can trade on a flat range, you know, or that natural gas can, please pull out a 20-year chart, and you'll find out that it's never, I repeat that, never done that. It goes from greed to fear, and those swings are pretty powerful. And if we get the kind of decline that I'm looking at here over the next few weeks, when it reverses, it is not going to reverse by a little bit. It's going to reverse by a lot. So let's look at the fundamentals of it. The fundamentals are the industry is not spending enough to replace declines. The worry is that there's a softening in demand worldwide because there may be a recession because the Fed's not making as much progress on inflation. But if they raise rates to 5-6% and the price of oil breaks 70, and then a couple months down the road they start seeing that the number of unemployed starts going back up and the inflation pressures are off, then we're going to see a recovery. Like if you took 2020 in April, we had negative oil prices, and then you know, we were up, from that significantly in a few months. So what I would do is whenever people throw out these, you know, these fearless forecasts, look at history. Take a 20-year chart of the stock they're talking about, the commodity they're talking about, and see if their thesis proves correct. And my view is, no, it does not.
All right, Joseph, we'll end it right there. Hey, more bullish outlook here for these stocks. Again, though, might just have to wait for a little bit more of a breakdown, especially in the oil price. Joseph, we're going to follow up with you next month and see how this all plays out, if it even has played out by next month. But thank you very much for sharing some of those stocks that you're looking at, some of the ones you think could bounce back the fastest, and why you think we're not going to be range-bound, why these stocks could be in for what sounds like a very nice run here. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. We hope you enjoyed this weekend show. We'll be back with you full time next week. And as always, keep in touch with Shad and I through email. That will be posted on the weekend show posting on our website and podcast. Joseph, everybody, thanks for taking time with us on this weekend. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.